We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
We've got a guy that has been generous enough with his time to join us throughout the season last year. Going to do it hopefully again this year. His inaugural visit in the 2018 campaign. He's the World Series champ two times over. He's got that ring on his finger. And he's got an off day to speak with us. It's Jeff Blum from AT&T Sportsnet. Blummer, always a pleasure to have you in. Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
No, I felt left out over the last couple of days, so I appreciate you having me on.
Well, now you're left in. We got you back in. That's what happens when you get that big-time team and you get all that jewelry. I mean, they start getting all these national telecasts, squeezing you local guys out. You guys were there when they were losing games. Now they're champs, and they want to, the networks want to squeeze their way in.
Yeah, they definitely do, and the Astros deserve it. It's unfortunate that they had a couple of tough outings, and it's unfortunate for fans that they have to deal with some of the national broadcasts.
See, you, A-Rod, I know you're a family guy. A-Rod brings J-Lo. J-Lo sharing ice cream during the broadcast. Okay.
I really wish that our broadcast could turn into a self-promotion process. That'd be so much fun.
That's awesome. Now,
this is going way out. I didn't realize we were going to this angle, boys.
Now, they tripped you because you guys were gonna be out in the Crawford boxes and you were gonna do a broadcast, and then they come in and Bogart their way through and they do it last night. That's crazy too.
It is crazy. Yeah, we'll eventually be out there, and I would imagine that we're gonna probably be a little more fan friendly with everybody out there. It doesn't take just playing catch with JD Davis to endear yourself to the fans.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, just like typical A-Rod, right? Just try and maximize exposure at the end and not put all the work in. Just take something that's going to make you look great and feel good. Oh, that's something else, too. So, Blur, yeah. Great to have you on. And we haven't talked this year, as I mentioned. But again, when we're talking about the World Series champs, we're talking about the critics come out a lot faster. The microscope is a lot stronger. So now you've got everybody watching everything this team did. Obviously, early in the season, people were critical of the lineup and the lack of hits. Now the focus is solely on the bullpen. You follow this team on a daily basis. How concerned are you about Ken Giles, Will Harris and company once the starters, who everybody loves to throw accolades at, once they turn it over to the pen?
Well, you know, that's what's interesting, and the bullpen is obviously pretty easy to point to because some of these dramatic losses that have happened in the last 2 weeks have happened against contending teams, potential playoff teams. We all talk about these being potential playoff matchups. How does it look for the Astros? And like you said, we saw the starting pitching continue to do what it's doing. We saw the lineup go out and put up enough runs to go out and win some games, and then you have some late losses, which obviously put a microscope on what's happening in that bullpen. And it was a knockdown, drag-out couple of weeks where AJ was trying to find out what the right matchups were and how to coordinate these guys getting in situations where they're going to get out of them successfully. And unfortunately, you may put them in the right spot, but the guys still need to go out there and execute. And I think to a man out there, if you did talk to them personally and said, hey, you know, what went wrong, they would say would be execution, because I think they had maybe the right guys in the right place, maybe the right pitch call, but it was the execution of the pitches. Some of those pitches that we saw leaving the ballpark and them getting hits on were pretty good pitches up in the zone to hit. And anytime you walk guys, which these guys really do, if you walk guys, good teams have a tendency to score those guys. But I agree with you guys in the sense that when you are watching the Houston Astros during this tough stretch, and that's what the playoffs are. It's a tough stretch, and you got to find guys to get out. So there might be a little bit of concern with those guys in the back end. And, again, it's just trying to find a situation or a way to get these guys to execute just a little bit better and prove their worth.
All right, Blummer, I'm going to ask you to play GM for a moment here, and I'm only going to give you one move. What do you think is more important for this team? Do they need to go out and get a closer, or do they need a left fielder?
I think they need a closer. I think you can patchwork together, and we saw it in the playoffs with Marwin Gonzalez going out there to left field because he drove in so many runs and put together great ABs that I think that with the guys that they have in the outfielder, and this is taking into account that Josh Reddick is going to come back healthy, which I think he will. when Josh Reddick comes in, George Springer moves to center field, and then you can kind of massage guys into left field according to who's on the mound. And maybe keep Jake Marisnyk around for a defensive, you know, rotation that we saw last year, like the Cupid Shuffle. But I don't think that left field is something you can mask and get by with and play matchups with, because the other parts of the lineup are so good. It's in the back end of the bullpen where, for me, just watching what this team is doing this season and watching what their starting rotation is doing, I mean, you've got to back up what these guys are doing. They're putting up historic numbers. They're putting up epic numbers as a rotation. They're showing some durability, having it already 2 months into the season. These numbers are still piling up. But you need somebody on the back end of that bullpen. And if I was GM for a day and I had no strings on the purse and I could go out and get whoever, I would try and go out and get, if there is one, a shutdown closer.
Well, and the other thing, Blummer, is and I want just get your opinion on this, but a lot of people are like, well, they're hesitant to give up anybody in the farm system. But you know, yeah, playing in the league as long as you did, the fact of the matter is you only get so many shots to go for it all. And this team is definitely in go for it all mode for the next couple of years. I assume you're good with giving up a few prospects if you can get that closer, that just lockdown guy that comes in and you feel great about every time you turn the ball over to him to shut down games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the issue kind of comes in, is those guys that are the shutdown and really good closers, they're going to have multi-year contracts and they're going to be locked into teams that are very good. It's unfortunate now with this market, it's trying to go out there and find that closer that you can have for a couple of years, because if you're going to give up high-quality prospects, you want at least a year or two after this year to have some of that return value kind of even out a little bit, so to speak. You don't want to go out and trade away your top prospects and have a 3-month rental that's going to end up a free agent at the end of the year, and just kind of use the team success to catapult his market value in the off season. So that's where you kind of have to draw that fine line and figure out, do I have a group of prospects that are appealing enough to get a closer type guy? And am I willing to get rid of them for X amount of years or X amount of time? Because I guarantee you that short list of prospects for a guy that's only going to be here for 3 months is going to be a little bit different than if there's a closer out there or a reliever that is appealing enough to go out and give up prospects for 1 or 2 years.
Here's something that's fascinating to me that I wanted to get your perspective on as a hitter. We saw Carlos Correa get off to a great start in April, but then May was just atrocious for him. And he'll be the first to admit how bad it was. But it looks like already within the first 3 days in June, he's got 3 hits again. So it looks like he's getting back on track. What happens where there's just a month where you just lose it all? And how do you recover from that?
First of all, baseball is really hard. And these guys, as good as they are, can run into some rough patches. And I think, like we saw in the last 2 weeks, of May, Cleveland, phenomenal starting rotation. The New York Yankees got a couple of good guys in the rotation. The back end of their bullpen is lights out. Then you face Boston, who has a lights out type rotation. So it's tough for these guys to feel good, get in a little bit of a rut, and then try and fight through some of these aces that they're seeing. But at the same time, there's so much information out there, and we talk about the Astros using that information. Opposing teams use just as much information, and they're trying to peck away and figure out, you know, how can we get Carlos Correa out? And unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks, they found a way. But what I've liked, that I've loved, that I've seen from Carlos Correa here in the last couple of days, maybe the last week, is that he's been getting beat inside, and a couple of pitches inside this week, he's actually turned on and put him in the Crawford box. That's a great sign for me that he's able to cover that inside corner, because that's going to open up all kinds of avenues for him to go out and get hits.
We obviously saw this Red Sox series end in a split after it started out so great for this team, and I wanted to get your perspective on one. How much of that was Alex Cora knowing a lot about this team, having been the bench coach last year? And then I don't know if you caught this or not, but he actually had video of Charlie Morton's bullpen session warming up and was giving guys tips and pointers and things to look at off of there. How much is too much from a Astros and a video department standpoint where you go, there's no way that they should have that kind of video leading up to a start?
They have access to as much information as the Houston Astros do, but Alex Cora in his career, even though he was a career journeyman, utility type guy, switch hit, I think, his value throughout his career was being one of those guys that could sit on the bench, come in, pinch hit, but at the same time, He's not a guy that's just going to sit on the bench and wait for his turn. He's sitting on the bench watching pitchers. He's watching tendencies. There's certain nuances throughout the course of the game that I think a guy like Alex Cora could pick up on. And I think that's what he is trying to give to his current roster. He's trying to explain to these guys maybe, you know, how he saw things when he was a bench coach for the Houston Astros. Because, I know that Alex Cora wanted to be a manager, but there may have been times where he kind of sat there and saw some things or tendencies and maybe, you know, wrote them down and kept them in a back pocket and saved them for this opportunity that he has with the Boston Red Sox now. Because, you know, the first two games, it went the Astros' way. The second two games against Charlie Morton, so to speak, is, you know, maybe they made adjustments against him because Alex Cora maybe had some insider trading type information to use.
All right, Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP hotline. Jeff, as usual, there's no shortage of surprise teams in baseball. You look at the Braves that have a game and a half lead on the Nationals. Milwaukee is leading the Central. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming necessarily. The Indians are struggling a little bit. Detroit's only 2.5 back. But my question for you, since we'll keep it in the West, what the hell's up with these Seattle Mariners? I thought for sure when they lost Cano, they were done. Just the opposite has happened since he left.
It is. It's really an interesting case. I can't wait to watch them play the next couple of days. I know it's only a brief two-game series, but it's going to be fun to watch because, you know, there's a lot of curiosity around what you're talking about. Robinson Cano goes on the, you know, on the suspension list for PEDs, and he's a perennial All-Star, perennial MVP-type guy, puts up big numbers, a huge piece in that lineup for Scott Servais. And now you pull him out and you assume that the production is going to go down, or how do they fill that? Yet it seems to have galvanized that team. And it's kind of interesting, just on the outside looking in and having experience in the past and watching some of these teams that have superstar guys who garner all the attention, is that when you unplug them, sometimes you start to spread some of the wealth around, and it's not all of this pressure and all of this stardom put on one guy, and you start to open up avenues where some of the, you know, maybe some other guys who were kind of fringe guys have an opportunity to play more, and you get them to overachieve. But right now they're playing great team baseball. The only thing that worries me is we talk about run differential a lot, and the Houston Astros are +122. The Seattle Mariners are only +17, and what that tells me is they're playing a lot of tight ball games, a lot of one run games. And sometimes that doesn't have a tendency to last throughout the course of a season. So it's early, but it's interesting to see them playing so well without their superstar.
We know you're on the off day, so we don't want to take up too much of your time. We do appreciate it. We do look forward to catching up with you again. We're going to come up with more nicknames to use on the air this year for you, for broadcasters.
I like it. Yeah.
And some work and some don't, but we know it's part of the process, and we trust the process.
Blummer, I'm just glad I know who to blame now.
See, there you go. I always have the good ones. Barry has the bad ones. That's how you can tell us apart. Appreciate it, Blummer. Have a great day. We'll look forward to catching you on AT&T Sportsnet tomorrow night.
I appreciate it. I look forward to getting back on air, and thanks for having me on today.
There you go. Jeff Blum.